There's something special for all the family on Christmas Day.
Oh, no, there isn't.
Oh, yes, there is.
A thigh-slapping, wand-waving, magical experience.
I am your fairy godmother.
All right, that's enough.
Be transported to a world where good overcomes all evil and where shoe size really does matter.
It fits.
It fits.
It fits.
Will you be my wife?
Oh, yes, Your Highness.
The all-star BBC Radio 4 pantomime.
Cinderella!
On Christmas Day at 11 o'clock.
Good evening, welcome to The Now Show. I'm Steve Punt.
And I'm Hugh Dennis. Well, it's happened. On Wednesday night, while the BBC were showing War and Peace, news at 10 were just showing war. As live from what appeared to be a Baghdad traffic camera, Alistair Stewart presented gruesome footage in missile camera action. The televised war has begun. Remember, only 4 bombing days till Christmas.
Never mind, everybody. Chin up. Forget the impending apocalypse because it's Busman and Quantic.
And now, movie news. 1999 looks set to be a year of remakes.
The most famous one is Gus Van Sant's scene-by-scene remake of Psycho. Psycho, the remake, is not to be confused with Psycho the original, Psycho 2, Psycho Killer by Talking Heads, or Talking Heads 2 by Alan Bennett. Although, if Alan Bennett had written Psycho, it would have been a lot different.
Morning, Mr. Woodenshaw. The other day I went out to the fishmongers, and do you know what I did? I bought a bit of haddock for our Gerald's tea. He would have got it himself, but he's got a bone in his leg. So I said to myself, saying it now is a perfect opportunity to look at that Wedgwood colander over at Arnley. Mr. Woodenshaw?
You know, you remind me of my mother. No, mother, don't, mother. No, please don't, mother. No, mother, no. She's only come to slice the Battenberg cake. Oh, no, not again. Oh, well, time for a cup of tea.
Of course, if the Bates Motel were a boarding house in Southend, it would have got government funding as a perfect model of care in the community. And it would have been on telly.
At 9 o'clock, a middle-aged transvestite, a female con artist on the run, and a dead woman in the basement. That's Bates Motel, the new docu-soap from BBC One.
Remakes are traditionally naff, which is why many sad people are looking forward to the new Star Wars movie, which isn't a remake, oh no, no way. It's just all the old characters, only younger, and they could do a lot with this idea.
Teenage Psycho, starring Macaulay Culkin as Norman Bates. Billy Girl, you know, the one with the huge mouth, as the woman. And Ginger Spice as Mother Bates.
Norman, where are your table manners? Get your elbows off the table and use your knife!
In 1999, look forward to some classic remakes. In the wake of Bram Stoker's Dracula and Kenneth Branagh's Frankenstein, there's Richard Branson's not too good-looking either.
And from politics, keep an eye out for an ongoing production, The Margaret Thatcher Story, starring Tony Blair.
Well, it's been a big week for sport. Sports Personality of the Year, a complete misnomer, incidentally, given that Nigel Mansell once won it, was presented to Michael Owen for scoring the greatest goal of the World Cup and lifting the hearts of the nation. The fact that we lost the match didn't really seem to matter. Interestingly, just a few hours before the presentation, Owen had missed a penalty against Wimbledon, proving that he might be all right in those run-of-the-mill World Cup second rounds, but he can't find it on the really big occasions.
Listeners in Scotland, of course, will not care less about Owen's goal. But then listeners in Scotland are still trying to puzzle out the phrase World Cup second round. But the English have got nothing to celebrate. The pride of the Premiership have already disappeared from the UEFA Cup, knocked out by such formidable sides as Pensioners of Leipzig. One of the great football clichés, of course, is...
There's no such thing as an easy game in European football.
Yes, there is. You can play an English team. Listeners in Scotland, you know what we could have said.
Now, one of the great things about Scottish sport is that they steer clear of cricket. The Scots, sensibly, can see no point standing in a field for 5 days trying to hit a ball through the air with a piece of wood. Instead, they stand in a field and just throw the piece of wood. With both hands. Now, these people are called caber tossers, a description which is strangely close to one I heard the other day in a pub applied to the England cricket team. But let's be positive. At least no English cricketer has ever been implicated in a match-fixing scandal. Odd that, because the result of England games is so notoriously difficult to predict.
Australian cricketers, on the other hand, have been accused of tipping off Indian bookies. On what, exactly? Tactics? Batting orders? Bowling strategies? No. Weather conditions.
Hello, what is the weather in Melbourne?
Sunny.
Your $2,000 is in the post.
I tell you, the first Indian bookie to get CFAX is going to make a fortune.
But then the week got worse. Scandals erupted everywhere. Firstly, in the Olympic venue selection. Apparently, the Olympic venue is subject to bribery, which may be one of the reasons why Sydney got the nod over Beijing and Manchester. Yeah, that must have been it. Bribery. Plus, possibly, the fact that Sydney Harbour might be nicer for water sport than an industrial ship canal, and that nobody really wants the exhibition event to be 4x400 students crushed under a tank. You wouldn't actually have to bribe me very far to get me to choose Sydney. Apart from anything else, I've been to Manchester loads of times, and I'm pretty sure that if you ran a marathon through Hume, the competitors would finish in world record time. But minus any watches and jewellery... and likely to fail any known drugs test. Plus, they often hold the first rounds and heats in the morning, which, given Manchester's nightlife, might prove a problem.
Well, welcome here to the Olympic Stadium in Manchester, where they're lining up the opening heat of the 200 metres. Going through the field, lane one hasn't turned up. Lane two needs some paracetamol. Lane three, still chilling. Lane four has gone back to sleep. Lane five got off with lane seven, and no one's seen them at all this morning. Lane six has crashed out in the long jump pit, and in lane eight, some bloke from UMist who's blagged his way in. Well, here comes the start.
Oh, God, no.
The Now Show.
And now Dan and Nick with a song entitled The Christmas Presents.
I was sitting at home in the TV watching mood. I turned on channel 4 and I threw up my food. Carol Vorderman was there again with Richard Whiteley. I must admit she was beginning to get on my nerves, slightly. I changed the channel, but on the BBC Carol was presenting another mystery. Like why there's no escape from the thinking man's nookie. I turned to channel 4, she was Sinbad and Rookie. The next day, I turned on the TV. There was Carol on the National Lottery. The woman was everywhere, it can't be due to chance. I tried to put on my trousers, but Carol had moved into my pants. I went for a shower. neck was full of long brown hairs. They were Carol's. She'd moved in under the stairs. I wanted to kill myself, 'cause I knew I was cursed. I put my head in the oven, but Carol got there first. I went up to heaven, to the gates that are pearly. Of course Carol was there. I wish I'd got up early. So I jumped off the cloud and said, let me into hell. But when I got there, she said,
hi, I'm the devil as well. If you look for presents under your Christmas tree, the presents that you find there will be me. I'm the omnipresent. I'm an intellectual totem.
She couldn't be more present if she was nailed onto your scrotum.
Now, an article in the French journal Pour la Science argues that parrots are as clever as monkeys and dolphins. In fact, when you read the research, that seems a bit unfair to the bird they studied, a 22-year-old grey parrot called Alex, who can subtract in his head, group objects by material, colour or shape, and work out if they have things in common, which is a bit more impressive than balancing a ball on your nose. It could open a door to a whole new raft of broadcasting. Dan and Nick.
Hello and welcome to Master Parrot. Can we have the first contender, please? You have 60 seconds to answer questions starting now. How many people can dance the tango?
Two can.
Correct. What is Ronnie Biggs famous for?
Robin.
Correct. What is the mathematical term for a many-sided figure?
Polygon.
No, you're still here. Complete the following. Woody...
Woodpecker.
No, it's real. What is the bird that is...
Swallow.
Not on the first date.
Duck.
Oh,
too late.
Can you... Can you tell me what you might fill a bird feeder with?
Nuts.
Well, if that's your attitude, name a seabird.
Shag.
No, thanks. I'm reading the question.
Bosman and Quantic.
They say that if you work in radio, you should never say anything nasty about anyone in case you want to work with them in the future. With this in mind, I would like to say that Chris Evans is an arse. I'd like to call him something else, but that's anatomically as close as I'm allowed to get.
Yes, after taking on God... Well, saying he wouldn't play Cliff Richard's new record, which is the same thing. Chris Evans is now messing with the dead. He has starred in a one-to-one ad with John Lennon. Thanks to what can only be called the black magic of television, the greatest songwriter and peace activist that ever lived is now great mates with a squealing ginger breakfast DJ nonce. Actually, if Chris Evans and John Lennon had met in real life, that would have been a real dilemma for Mark Chapman, wouldn't it? He wouldn't have known which way to turn. Would we like to think he'd have known where his duty lay?
Now, John Lennon isn't the first dead celebrity to be used in a phone ad. We've had Marilyn Monroe, Elvis Presley, Yuri Gagarin and Noel Edmonds. I'm sorry, that's wishful thinking.
And it's not just phones. In Japan, and this is true, there was a car ad showing James Dean driving the product. The implication was that if James Dean was alive today, he'd be driving a Honda. Whereas in reality, if James Dean was alive today, he'd be driving a Stana Stairlift.
Now, we're all in favour of using historical figures in ads. That's why we've started our own ad agency, representing the deceased.
Then again, it might not always work.
At last, I, William Shakespeare, have completed my new play. An introspective look at the human condition through the eyes of one man, a Danish prince. But what to call it? I know. Mr. Cigar.
Interesting news this week. McDonald's are going to stop giving out spoons in their restaurant. And the reason for this is they have discovered that their spoons have become the industry standard measure for heroin dealers. It's excellent, isn't it? And Dan and Nick certainly thought so.
Can I help anyone, please?
Hello.
Hi.
Yes, I am.
What can I get you?
Big smack, please.
Do you like anything with that?
Coke.
Do you want a straw?
No, I'll use this rolled up fiver.
Well, that'd be 450 quid, please. How would you like to pay?
Credit card, of course.
Do you want any blowback with that?
No, thanks. Nice crack.
Oh, saucy.
Hunt and Dennis.
Now, this week we learned that Britain's teenagers are fat, lazy and bound for an early grave. And it isn't just a British problem. In America, children are so fat that their parents send them to obesity camps.
Good morning, kids. Welcome to Gross Point Camp. Now, these are eight-man tents, so you'll have one each. Now, we have a whole range of activities for you. Breakfast is at 9 o'clock. That takes us through the afternoon, and then you'll be going on a 12-mile wobble. We also have a hot air balloon, in case any of you have forgotten to bring a sleeping bag. I would remind you that the nearest McDonald's is over 80 miles away, so please, take the keys to my car. I'm starving here. I'll have two Big Macs with extra gherkins.
You've got to feel a bit sorry for children, though, because the role models we give them don't help. I tell you who really needs to go to an obesity camp, the Teletubbies. All of them. Have you seen the arses on those things? Wobbling around, they're horrible. Under that romper suit, Lala is a mass of cellulite. Poe looks like Rowley from Grange Hill with sunburn. And Tinky Winky looks like Bernard Manning after too much acid. And it's hardly surprising since all they eat is dry toast and tubby custard. Bowl after bowl of it.
Uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
The statistics are actually frightening. 20 years ago, loads of kids rode cycles to school. Now, hardly any do. Why? Because there's too much traffic. Why? Because the roads are full of parents driving their kids to school. In fact, middle-class mothers now have to take a special driving test.
Now, if you'd like to manoeuvre your pointlessly large estate car into the middle of the streets and, and get ready for your 12-point turn... Now, when I tap the dashboard, treble park on the yellow line and let your three fat kids out of the car. And I'd like you to hold a long conversation with the last one so as to block the road even more. Yep. Oh, they're very good. Now, just a few final questions. What does zigzags by a pedestrian crossing mean?
Park here.
Good. What is a pedestrian?
Oh, I can't remember.
Good. And what is the maximum distance your 11-year-old has ever walked?
110 yards.
Sorry, it's 85 yards. Now, finally, what is a bus? Do you need a bit of a clue?
It's a sort of big Renault Espace for poor people.
Excellent.
Children, of course, by contrast, actively want to walk to school. If they get a lift, they can't smoke on the way. And how can you meet girls in your friend's mum's car? Unless, of course, it's your friend's mum you're interested in. Or was that just me?
A shock for Scots. According to Gateshead Council, the tune of Auld Lang Syne was not the work of Robert Burns, but is, in fact, a tune tune, which can be found in an earlier Geordie opera by Tyneside composer William Shields.
Classic FM, welcome to tonight's performance of La Lada Gaza. Or The Battered Bird. Live from the Metro Centre in Gateshead. In Act One, we see the arrival of the handsome ram raider, Sid.
Away the lads, I am out on the toon. I come in search of birds.
At this point, the romantic interest, Julie, appears.
I am a fat lass. I am out on the tune as well.
search of chips.
Sid is immediately impressed with her beauty.
Who ate all the pies? Who ate all the pies?
In Act Two, a suitor, Dyrvi, appears and challenges Sid.
Didst thou spill my mead?
But the wily Sid is too clever for Dyrvi. He and Julie cunningly hotwire Dyrvi's sedan chair and drive off into the sunset.
Oh, Sid, man, I am that happy. I feel like smirking 40 tabs.
Shut it, you slapper. Where's me dinner?
And now, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the man who scorns the third way, the second way, and indeed the first way. There is only one way, the way of Alan Parker, urban warrior.
Cheers, kicking it down, vibes, no damage, hello, etc. On the war issue, that there's a war. Yes, I have read the newspapers, and that is a sin. But that is one of the clever things about the newspapers, is what they do is promote war. They cause it, basically. They sell you a war, and then the war sells more newspapers, right? And that, the way they do that is very simple. It's like the Daily Mirror... We have bombed Iraq. That's their headline. And you think, what's all this we business? I mean, they're coming out there and going, yeah, we did it. The Daily Mirror. No, they're going, you did it, so you have to buy it. It's been done on your behalf. I don't know. What are your views on the war thing?
Kick his ass.
Kick his ass, yeah. No, it's killing people. I am willing to kick Saddam Hussein's ass. Or his donkey or whatever, you know. Now, what does Tony Blair say? We must act now. That's what he said in the newspaper that I read. We must act now. Or not. What's the rush? And the reason they give, they want to get the bombing in before Ramadan. Because that might offend Muslims. You know, like killing them won't. You know, you don't want to get killed, like, during Christmas, do you? Much better before. No, much better after. Now, the main players in it, Clinton, Blair, and that, here's a bit of the newspaper, right, some of the things they said. Clinton goes, mark my words, Saddam will develop weapons of mass destruction and he will use them. Well, I'm marking those words 0 out of 10. Because, like, so why are you bombing him? If you think that's what he will do anyway. What's the point? Saddam will develop weapons of mass destruction and he will use them. You know, same as America and us, like Hiroshima and all that. We've done that as well. Haven't we? Oh, it's not we anymore. Have we or have we not used weapons of mass destruction?
Yes.
Are we sorry about that?
Yes.
No.
Yes, we are.
Well, who's this we? Who are you talking for?
Just myself.
Then it's I, isn't it? Just a little grammar thing. We, I, you know. Cheers.
The Now Show.
And finally, M&C Saatchi have this week produced an ad for the Millennium Experience Company depicting humanity's achievements over the last 1,000 years. Although, to be honest, their definition of humanity, greatest, and achievement is frankly a bit weird, because included in the final list of 10, actually depicted in the film, are the building of Westminster Abbey, which is a major achievement for the people of Westminster. Walter Raleigh's arrival with the potato and the invention of the sandwich. Sarchi's claim that the landmark events, as their term, were extensively market research before inclusion. Research presumably amongst people living near Parliament who like chip butties.
Because this list, frankly, didn't really do it for us. So we, as we often do, have asked our studio audience here tonight to tell us via these little forms that we are holding what they think humanity's greatest achievements are over the last millennium.
Humanity's greatest achievement in the past 1,000 years, paper plates. I think many of us will argue with that. Why? No waste of effort, manual, water heating, detergent, electricity, etc. And they are green if you leave them for long enough.
I don't fully understand the water heating.
No, I don't understand
that. I'm all for this one. I'm all for this one from Phil. What is humanity's greatest achievement of the past 1,000 years? The cash till. Why? How else could you get a kebab at 2 a.m?
That's very good. Humanity's greatest achievement in the past 1,000 years, crystal mice. I don't even know what they are. Crystal mice. Why? That's they rival Cologne Cathedral in splendour.
Who is that from?
Wendy.
That's from Wendy. Wendy's the woman sitting in the cloud of smoke over there. This is my favourite of all of them. And this is from Jill. What is humanity's greatest achievement of the past 1,000 years? The invention of deodorant. Why? Have a word with the bloke sitting next to me.
Humanity's greatest achievement of the past 1,000 years? Chocolate-covered figs. Why? Have you tried them?
That's like an advert.
Have you tried them? Or, greatest achievement over the past 1,000 years, cat food. Why? Because old people will always have something to buy.
What is humanity's greatest achievement of the past 1,000 years? Computer-controlled missiles that only hit intended targets 25% of the time. That's from someone who signed himself Baghdad Homeowner.
These ones that are serious, aren't they? Yeah. Greatest achievement of the past 1,000 years, putting a human on the moon. Why? Although not something that touches the everyday person, it's the all-round achievement, imagination, design, invention. An invention achievement. It's from someone called Simon, who's given me his phone number.
Have you got your mobile?
I think that's about it, but I think we should give a prize this week. I don't know what, free Furby or something, because I think the prize has to go to
free
Jill.
Furby.
Has to go to Jill from Tunbridge Wells for the deodorant joke. Marvellous. Round of applause for Jill. Yes. Yay! thank you very much to our studio audience who've been with us over twice as long as our listening audience. And thank you very much to the listening audience, and good night.
The Now Show was hosted by Steve Punt and Hugh Dennis and was brought to you by Jane Busman, Emma Clark, Dan Friedman, Simon Munnery, David Quantick and Nick Romero. It was developed by Bill Dare with the producer, Aled Evans.